Praise the Lord. It sure is good to be here this morning, and it's good to see each of you, and just so thankful for you. I don't want you to think that I just use that as a filler statement or something. I sincerely mean that with all my heart. I'm so thankful to see you each Sunday, each Wednesday, and whichever time that may be, and appreciate that wonderful singing this morning. And a lot of you don't know this, but Sister Alice actually gave me permission to play yesterday. I didn't talk to you about that, Sister Kathy, but aren't you glad she played instead of me? Amen. You haven't heard me play, and you don't want to. Let's just leave it like that. But I'm thankful for those who take part in our church and all that you do. And in saying that also, I want to invite everybody. And when I say everybody, I do mean everybody. I'm not excluding anyone. When I say this, I want to invite everybody to come be with us at 4 p.m. today for our VBS meeting. What a blessing be if we all got involved with it. I mean, amen. I say amen right there. That's an opportunity for us all to do something. And yes, it's work, but I've always had a good time in the Lord with it also. And I want to encourage all of us to take part in what the Lord has for us. I can't emphasize that enough. And also some business. I'll go ahead and mention it now before I forget. I got it written down, but we're going to open, we'll actually have what was called the right hand of full fellowship. We have two people to do that today, Sister Deanna and Sister Sarah, so we want to do that, and we want to do that after the service this morning, since you both are here. So we've got your letters and everything, and got that taken care of, and I'm thankful for that too. It's always good to see the church growing, amen? I mean, is that not what it's about? You don't want to see it going the other direction, right? You want to see it growing, amen? I say amen right there. And on that note, let's be turning to Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 19 through 22 is primarily kind of where we'll finish up. But if you want to, we'll kind of begin off at verse number 11. But Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. One of the things that's been the undertone this week, I believe I've heard said many different times, is about the church. I've heard people talking to call people and check on them to see how they're doing, and different ones, different people that I talked to, they said, I don't know what people do that do not have a home church. You ever think about it like that? Ever look at it that way? And I don't want us to ever take for granted what we have here. You know, I believe sometimes people might think it'll just always be there, but what if it wasn't? Where would you be this morning? Where would you be? You know, I'm thankful for our church and what we have here, and it's already been said in Sunday school, some remarks that really went right along with the message this morning. The title this morning is The Household of God, and really been thinking about that as far as the church and how we as the local body, we're built up as a member, and how Christ himself is the one who ordained that to be. We are to be a building for him, which he is the chief cornerstone, the Bible teaches us. We'll talk about that this morning. I do have an illustration handy, so I have something here. I know you can't see it, but for the little ones, I'm going to get some help here in a minute. And Josh helped me get some illustration together. You know what they say? I guess a photo's worth, 1,000 words? And sometimes I believe that's the case. You know, and kind of talking about that. How many of you have been keeping up with the house on 321? Anybody hear about that? Wait a minute. Anybody not hear about that? Yeah, isn't that something? And all that talk, what they're worried about and everything. You know, I kind of followed the messages. I didn't know Watauga County had so many engineers. My goodness. Everybody's a builder in this day and time. Everybody knows how to fix things and what to do and how to take care of things. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go online. There's some amazing pictures online if you want to see that and see what's going on. I have to make a little joke about that. But you know, and Brother Tim, and looking at that and reading the comments and all that and taking into account everything there, you know what I noticed? Not one person said, boy, they need a new roof. Boy, I think they need a new roof, you know. And nobody ever commented on the shingles, about how the shingles looked or if they were the right colors. Nobody ever talked about paint on the house. None of that. Isn't that something? You know what they talked about? They talked about the foundation. They kept talking about how they hope the foundation is as strong as it needs to be. That the foundation is the way that it's supposed to be. You know, in building, what you build on is the most important thing. You can put You can put a lot of paint on a building. You can try to refab a lot of things. But if the foundation isn't right, then pretty much everything else is not going to be right. It's probably going to fall. And I'll read these verses and we'll pray this morning. We'll get right into it. But verse 19, it says here, it says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and out and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto the holy temple, to an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day that you've given to us to be able to gather together, Lord, as the church, Lord, as a body, just to be together, united in presence, God. I thank you so much for that, Lord. We pray for those who are not able to be here, God, those that are hurting, those that are sick. Lord, we just lift them up to you this morning and ask, God, that you help them and comfort them and heal them, Lord. And, God, we pray for the McKinneys, thinking about them this morning, just so thankful that they're back home and praying for little Zeke, Lord, as he heals and tries to get better also, Lord, and gather strength, God. We pray for him also. God, I pray for our church this morning, God, that you would just take command. Lord, take control. God, I just pray that the Spirit be what it should be here this morning, God, the Spirit of unity, fellowship, friendship, God, and of family. Lord, I love my church, God, and I thank you so much for them. I thank you for so much for each one that faithfully attends and comes, God. It just means so much to me. They're an encouragement to me. God, I want to be that back to them. God, we trust in you. We try to follow you, God, and your word, staying firm on the foundation of the word of God. And Lord, I just pray that you be with me. God, my heart and my mind, my focus, God, help me say everything the way you'd have me to, Lord. We just want your will to be done here this morning. God, be with those that are lost. God, please convict hearts this morning. Help us to see what we need to see, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. A lot to pray for this morning and be thinking about. And just kind of looking at a few points here. Don't tend to be too long this morning, but thinking about the household of God and what a privilege it is to have a church. And I say praise God for the local church. I mean, maybe it's something that's kind of going out of style or what have you, but I thank God for the church that we have. You know, there's some people who do not have biological family that they can gather and be with. Do you know that? They have a local church that they can gather in and be with. I was reminded this morning as I was getting ready, something that Jesus said when he was on the cross. He looked down at his mother and he looked down at John and he's talking to John. He said, "Behold thy mother." And he said, talked to Mary and said, "Mary, mother, behold thy son." You know what he was doing? He knew he was leaving. But he was uniting them together as a family. Isn't that something how he did that? Bringing them together in his absence. And you know, throughout time, you see that illustration there, but throughout time, that is what the Lord has intended that the church be, that we be a family, a true family, a place that we can come together, dwell together, and be together as a family, not just as acquaintances or anything like that. I believe that is one of the things that Brother Mike said also about how he appreciates being together in what you say a smaller congregation of people so you know each other, having to have a relationship with one another. I feel the same way, brother. I think about that. Imagine come to church and not knowing who was where and doing what. That'd be kind of sad. That's not really how family operates, is it? Or should operate. Should kind of be together, be unified. And we see some things here, how the Lord does this. We see in verses 11 through 13, it says, "Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision, by which is called the circumcision." It's talking about the Gentiles being uncircumcised, the circumcision referring to the Jewish people in the flesh made by hands. "That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh into the blood of Christ." You see how there's a bringing together.
You know, when you look back, I said this on Wednesday night, and I want to say it again this morning, and talking about the Jewish people and the Gentile people, how you have two different races, two different groups of people, that there is not a Jewish way of salvation and a Gentile way of salvation. There's just the Jesus way of salvation, just one. And that's what he's teaching here. You'll see it all throughout the Bible. He is bringing that together. He's talking about that unifying. And what he's saying here, he is bringing us near together. He's bringing us to one place, putting us in one place together. And again, we're talking about building this morning. You think about different materials that you would use to build a house, to build a structure. They're just not all going to be the same, are they? Do you want them all to be the same? You think about building a house. You know, you want your block that you're going to lay down as a foundation that serves as a certain purpose. Then you want your walls to be built up. Usually, a lot of times, that's built with wood. Then you're not going to use wood as a conductor, are you, for your electricity? That wouldn't work, would it? There's a lot of different members. There are a lot of different materials that are needed to build a house or to build a structure. That's what the Bible is illustrating right here. Do you know every single one of us are different? Guess what? That's okay. God intended it to be that way. We have different ways of doing things. God has different ways of reaching out to people. We're not all going to be able to reach the same kind of people. We're just not. There's people I could probably reach and talk the talk with that some of the older ones or some of the younger ones couldn't. But see, generation by generation, you have somebody that you're supposed to reach. You think about how God is building this house and generationally how it comes down. It started with the apostles all the way down. You'll see that here in just a minute. How it was made to be together. But what you see is how God is bringing these raw materials together. Isn't that something? If we're not careful, we'll try to reach out to the same who we think are the same type people. It's a whosoever thing. It's not a certain thing. It's a whosoever thing is the way the Lord set it up. You think about our community and everybody that's in our community. We can't just isolate and pick out certain groups. Not that we do, not that we would. But when you're gathering materials to build a house, you want a variety. You want a different thing that's going to make your structure strong. You see two different ones outlined here. He mentions the Gentiles and then the Jewish people also. But he's saying that he brought them both near. The way I see this is the Lord was going out and he was gathering different raw materials. Where were you when God found you? I was pretty raw material. You know, if you try to pick out things, boy, this would be a good piece of furniture for the church. See, the Lord, he don't work like that. Saul was not a pretty picture for the church, was he? Would you pick Saul out and say, boy, I'd like to have him in church? God did. God saw something there. God saw him. And now you look at Saul and the people he could reach, and maybe some of the other people could not reach. But you see how the Lord brings us near. You see that's what he's doing here. He brings these raw materials together. He brings them near to build this structure. And he's talking about the church. We can look at the building physically, but he's talking about us layer by layer as people in building the church, the importance of the church. Again, I praise God for the church. I'd hate to be sitting at home this morning. I talked to people yesterday that said, I just want to be back in church. Pray that I can get back in church. Amen. You ever feel that way? Or like I got something more important to do today. I'm just going to be out and do something else. I don't want us to ever waste any time that we have here at church and see the importance of it and the outreach that we are supposed to have in the community. That's what we're here for. What we're going to do on the outside, drawing people in, letting people see the need to have church. I tell you, I'm just going to be honest with you. I mentioned it before, talking about the falling away. That scares me. You want to scare me? Lose interest in the Word of God. That scares me. That gets my attention. I see that as being the importance of the church, part of the importance to draw people in so people can see the need of salvation. And you see a beautiful thing here also, and the second point to bring out is how he brings about peace. Being near after he brought these two groups of people together through the blood of Jesus Christ, you see how this peace is brought together. Verses 14 through 17, it said, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one." You see, that's a unifying thing. It's bringing both into one. and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You see some restoration there. And having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And came and preached peace unto them which were afar off and to them which were nigh. So again, those that were far off, those being us, the Gentiles, we are the raw materials way out there. That's what that's meaning. See, the Jewish people had the Word of God. They had the oracles of God. They had the plan of God, even though they wasn't following it like they were supposed to. Much of the time, they had the Word of God. You see, those who were near and those who were far. And he was bringing them together, and he was honing them and making them suitable to become one. There's some things you just can't unite without something taking place. I could lay two pieces of metal together, but unless you can kind of weld that together, it's just not going to stay together, is it? Something has to be the tie that binds, right? What's the tie that binds you here today? Is it a family member? Is it somebody you came with? Or is it your relationship to Christ himself? What brought you here today? What ties you to the church? You know, I guess maybe when I was little or younger, when I was younger, there was times I came to church because mom and dad said I had to. Maybe in the flesh I didn't want to. Maybe that was the tie that binded at that time. But you know, when I got older, when I got more united with Christ, there was something that said, you know, I just want to be there because I don't want to miss something. I want to see what the Lord has for me. There's something that has to tie us together. You see how the Lord has a way of doing that. He has a way of smoothing off the rough edges and making people suitable to put people at peace, to put them together. That's how the church is supposed to be. Isn't that something else? Can't always choose your family, but you can kind of choose your church to a degree, right? Is that, wouldn't you not agree? Amen. There's peace in that, right? Amen. I'll take that. But you see, there's a peace. He's putting people together. As we were singing this morning, I was thinking about how thankful I was to be in this church and thankful to be a part of God's work. It's not old to me. It's still new and exciting to me. And I'm thankful to be a part of it because, you know, when you look at how the Lord goes out and he was getting those raw materials, I was one of the pieces. You was one of the pieces too. Think about that. Preacher, that ain't exciting at all. Man, it is to me. I could have been in jail this morning. Yeah, I could have been. I could have been old sorry drunk. I could have been. Not because of him. You know, a big part of that is the influence that church has had on my life. It wasn't just me. You know, I had people in my life, when they saw me going the wrong way, they'd reach out and say, hey, you don't need to be doing that. Thank God for them. Thank God for people who have enough courage to tell somebody when they're doing something wrong in love. Again, Brother Mike, you brought that out beautifully. Not like you're trying to say, hey, they messed up and they deserve it, but consider yourself. I could have been in a mess this morning and you could have been too. But for the grace of God, think about the influence of church on your life. Does it make a positive influence on your life? Does it change your life at all? Where would you be if you didn't have that influence week after week? A couple of times a week, where would you be? You see, as you come into church, you should be learning, you should be growing, you should have a greater appreciation of what the Lord has done and is doing in your life. That's the way I look at it. I thank God for it. Could have been in a lot of different situations this morning, but thank God I am here. We see here in verse number 18, I like this. It says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You know, we have access with the Builder, the one who's putting everything together in our life. You know, there's been a lot of things in my life that has made zero sense. Lord, why did you even let this happen? Why did you let this long, drawn-out thing happen? It could have been simple. I could have known it the first that, hey, it ain't going to happen this way. Why can't you just tell me? So I don't have to have all that worry, all this kind of stuff. Things happen in our life that we just do not understand. Amen to that. But you know, we have access to the Builder, the one who has the master plan. I believe that with all my heart. If you want to know where you fit in the big scheme of things, he'll let you know, because he has a place for you. He didn't create anybody without them having a place. Not the Jesus that I know, not the God that I know. He created people with a choice, but he had a place for them. Isn't that sad to think? He had a place for everybody. And you think, you look at all these empty spots, he had a place for somebody on every single one of these empty spots. I believe that. He allowed the church to be built and the space to be here. Amen. There's room. You think God would love to see his house filled this morning? Amen. He allowed it to be. He gave us a place to be. We have access with the builder this morning. We see this last part here. Verses 19 through 22, we see how he also gives us a new family. I want to spend a little time here. This is the main basis of the message that I was thinking about. And it said here, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of the household of God." Isn't that a beautiful thing? I was thinking about holidays, different things, times I usually get together with my family, how enjoyable that is to me. Church should be that same way. It's a time we get together to be with our family, love one another, no longer strangers. We have a Father in common. That's what makes us family. That's what makes it so beautiful. That's what makes it work and makes it come together. No more strangers and foreigners. In the household of God, and it says, "And ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." That's how we are built together. You think about the strength. You know, sometimes you get disheartened. Sometimes you worry about people, if they're going to come, if they're not, you reach out, may get a response, may not. I'm like, why have people lost interest? Preached a lot on that. But why have people lost interest in this day and time? But you see what it says here in this verse and how this is built, talking about the New Testament church. They're built upon the foundation of the apostles, what the apostles and what the prophets preached and what was taught under the New Testament. Not only that, but it also says here, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Think about the foundation that we're built on. Joking about that this morning, people worried about the foundation. You think about the foundation of what you and I are built on in the New Testament church. That's Jesus Christ. It's not a man. It's not a man-made philosophy. It's not a fake religion or false religion, anything like that. We are built upon Jesus Christ. He is the foundation of our belief. Amen. Now, how do you want to build upon that? How do you want to build upon that? How do you ever take it that serious? You are a block in that building. You yourself, I myself am a block in that building. It said, "In whom all the building is fitly framed together, groweth in holy temple in the Lord." Groweth. You see, it's not just a house that was just built and that's it, but it groweth. You know, the church, I'd heard this years and years and years, the church is not an organization, right? You know what it is? It's an organism. That's something that grows. Are we growing? We growing? Praise the Lord. Two, praise the Lord. But I ask you more importantly, are you growing spiritually? I'll tell you this. I believe if you and I are growing spiritually, the church will grow physically. I believe that with all my heart. You know, there's groups of people out there today looking for something. They want to know the truth. They want truth. They want something that they can put their heart and their belief into. Do you know that? I see a lot of young students, a lot of young kids. They want to know the truth. They're searching for something. The Lord wants us to reach out to them. I tell you, pray for our young people in this campus. I know a lot of times it brings in a lot of contention for a lot of reason, maybe some good reason. I talked to a student this week. He said, "Hey, we don't want to be enemies with the community. We want to fit in. We want to take part." Praise the Lord. We got a place for you. Amen. We got a place for you to be. We're not that far out of town. We got a place for you. But you see, he gives us a family fitly framed together, building us together. I want to have an illustration for him and get some of the young kids to help me here. But it says in verse number 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. A habitation, that's a dwelling place. That's what this is supposed to be, a dwelling place for the Spirit. Now, you can get saved anywhere. You can worship God anywhere. But you're appointed time to the local assembly based on the church covenant. You're supposed to be here. Amen. Any problems with that? I know some people can't be. If some people are sick or what have you, I understand that. But I tell you, how long would we stay employed if our attendance was like our attendance at church? We'll just find somebody else. If you ain't gonna, you know what I'm saying? I'm not getting on to anybody. I'm not being mean. I want you to know I believe in the importance of being here. It's not always easy, but it's important to be here. Our young people are counting on that. You think about where you got saved. You can get saved anywhere. Amen. I believe that. I got saved in church. Thank God for the church that I was in when I got saved. Amen. Church is a wonderful place to get saved. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen. Church is a wonderful place to have VBS too, Sister Karen. That's been on my heart. I'm not getting on to anybody, but I'm telling you, that list back there for VBS should have been full the first day it went out. That's just me. I'm going to be here, Lord willing. I'm not sick or something. I plan on being here. Takes precedence over other things in my life. It's important. It's that important. Our young people need to see it. Our young people need to see the importance that it places in our life. This is where we're going to be. This is where we're going to be and what we're going to do. This is what the Lord would have us to do. But I want to give this illustration here and kind of thinking about this and looking at what it was talking about here. Got little pieces here. Josh helped me with this, and he gave them to me this morning. I asked him if he had any Legos, and he said, let me see, because he's got a whole bunch of Legos, but most of them were up in the attic because he had to put them up. Mama made him clean out his room, but she didn't find these. Had a few left, you know. And now, where's my baby boomers at? Pretend these are Lincoln Logs, okay? There you go. Now the heads are shaking. You know, I have to pull people in on that. But, you know, you see different pieces here. You got a couple of different colors, a couple of different sizes. Some are a little bit taller than the other, what have you. Different ones, okay? I was thinking about the Jewish people. I was thinking about the Gentile people, how he's talking about bringing two into one. And then there's one. What's that got on it right there? Anybody see what that is? What's that? The smiley face. That's a smiley face. I know you can't see it. That's a smiley face. This is the one that's kind of different right here. This is the chief cornerstone. Amen. This is the one that's different. This is the one that everything else is going to be built on, okay? This is going to be the standard. Now, it's thinking about being fitly framed together and put together. You know, if you're going to build a house, how good is that going to work right there? If I can make an L here and I can put that together, but is that going to stand? Brother Abe, is that going to stand? That's not how you do Legos, is it? You know, you got Legos. I know you know. You got experience. That's not going to fit, is it? How long is that going to stay together? Not long, is it? It's not fitly framed together, right? Is there anything here that would allow it to be placed together the way it's supposed to be? If I was going to make an L out of this, how would I make an L out of it? Can you show me how to do it? Wow, look at that. He's good. You've done that before, haven't you? Amen. So now look. See, this is what I would call fitly framed together. See, I don't have to try to hold it together. I don't try to have to make it come together. Guess what? It kind of just holds itself together. Isn't that neat? Now, if it's Lincoln Logs, baby boomers, it'd kind of be a little bit harder. You might have to add a little glue or something, okay? But I was thinking about this backside here. Isn't that neat how those slots are just made like that? These are two completely different pieces. But yet, look. Isn't that something? Brother Ben, they stay together. And you say, I want you to see the smiley face. I don't think this side got to see the smiley face. You see, the chief cornerstone is happy when you get attached to him. Amen. That's simple, but it's the truth.
Now, you think about that. Fitly framed together. And then it talks about you two are now one. And then if you keep going on off of that top of the chief cornerstone, look at that. It's almost starting to look like a structure. I thought that was kind of interesting. And then you can kind of overlap it. You can put it together any kind of way you want to. And some are taller than the others. Some are different colors, whatever. It don't matter. Different backgrounds, raw materials. But look. Look how they fit. Look how they come together. It's almost like they was made to do that, right? But they're not the same. Look how they stick together. Fitly framed together. That's what the Lord is now. That's the way the Lord would have it to be. But you see something also interesting about these joints here? You couldn't do it backwards. You couldn't do it backwards and it stick. So I'll show you. So if I do this right here, and I try to put this together falsely, yep, it don't work. See, thing about it is, if you're built upon the house of God, you're built in the household of God, you have to do it His way. I want you to know that. Not your way, not my way. You have to do it His way for it to fit and for it to stick. So that's what concerns me about these little pieces sometimes that fall off. Were they fitly framed or not? Were they placed the way they were supposed to be or not? Because if they are fit together the way they're supposed to, look at that. That's holding itself together. Isn't that something? That's amazing. That's a little illustration. You think about how strong the church is, the chief cornerstone, and what He had built together. Now, I'm going to take it a step further. Let's say this middle piece is your piece, mom and dad. Let's say this middle piece is your piece. This one right here, your mom and dad, this is you, this is your place in the block right here. And let's say you remove your piece. Now look what happened. That piece didn't stay. That piece went off with it. Now we're back to this. That's what creates this. That's why you see those vacancies. That's why you see those empty spots. I'm telling you, say, is church really that important? Is the household of God really that important? Yes, it is. It is very much that important. You think about the time you spend outside doing other things, consuming other things in your mind, in school or wherever it be. You think about the hours spent consuming other things minus the hours spent consuming God's Word. That's something to think about and consider. What if we flipped it? What if you spent as much time studying the Word of God as you do in the job that you do? Would you know more about the Lord? So I got to pay the bills. I get that. I'm making an illustration here. Would you know more? Would your kids know more? Do you think that our kids would see it as more of an importance if we showed more of an importance in it? I hope this made good sense to you. Seeing the importance of the house of God and how we're supposed to be here. We're supposed to build. We're supposed to grow on it. I tell you, we need to encourage people to be here. This needs to be the most exciting place you can be. I'm not talking about in the flesh either. It's through the Spirit. One day the Lord's going to come back. Those that have accepted Him, those that are saved, are going to go to heaven. But I tell you, what are they going to think? If I knew it was going to be like this, I'd try to get more people involved. I'd try to get more people here. If I knew it was going to be this good. Think about that this morning. If you will, stand with me. I'll stop there and let the illustration stand. And I'll ask Sister Kathy, if she will, to come. We'll have a song of invitation this morning. Talking about the importance of the church, the household of God.